Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone, and welcome to another The Cloudy edition of The Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone has had a great week. First off, I apologize for yesterday. I had major switchboard issues, so unfortunately didn't have a best of show, but I'm glad if you are here today, you are here with me. Got a load of show today. We have so much preseason football to get into today. Why the hell was Cam Newton on the field last night? I don't care, Riverboat Ron. Can't be old man, get off the lawn when it comes to preseason these days. You just simply can't do it. We're going to get into that. We have Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, calling in about 10 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk about those Dolphins again. Rosen should be starting. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to ask him again. I'm going to break him down one way or the other. And also today I'll play my interview with the one and only Kent Summers from Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. He knows all things Cardinals, so I'll be playing that interview with him as well. Again, welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Again, thank you for joining us on a Friday. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you. 10% off your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member. Get a locker that backs directly up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Come down, sit down, grab your stick. Watch one of the many televisions. They definitely have the NFL League Pass. They will be showing the football game tomorrow as college football gets kicked off between Florida and Miami. So go check it out down there at the one only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco on Alma School in Chandler Heights, located in Chandler, Arizona, 4991 South Alma School. They are now serving beer and wine also, so there is no excuse, no reason. Get down there again. Let them know PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Again, welcome to joining the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Call number 917-889-7828. Since we have Tony coming on, scheduled to come on at 10 after, let's get right to calls right now. Thank you for your patience. You are the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's Lou.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, in case anybody hasn't noticed, tomorrow does actually start the start of college football.
Looking forward to it. Miami and Florida. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. That's such a important one, even though it's so early in the season. I mean, Miami is already, ranked in the top 10.
And I think Florida's going to be pretty good. Coach Mullins did a pretty decent job last year, and let's see if Florida makes that next move.
Okay, but what about Miami? Are they going to be up and coming, or are they going to be struggling this season then?
Okay, this is going to sound really bad the way I'm going to say this, but I really do believe this is it. There's
okay.
Clemson, there's Alabama, and then there's everyone else. And there's teams with the outside chance to be the everybody else. I think if Miami loses this game, it would not hurt them as much as if Florida loses this game. I say that because if Miami loses this game and still can win the ACC, which means eventually they have to beat Clemson, they can catapult themselves back up into a good ranking. If Florida loses this out-of-conference game against Miami, and then they end up somehow losing to a Georgia or a Florida State or an Alabama team, they are now out back bowl bound. So, yeah, it's an important game to start the season. A rivalry game is always an important way to start. But, yeah, this is a huge game all the way around.
And you're asking one thing. Why was Cam Newton in last night's game? I mean, what, you know, that was not a smart move. And this is why they shouldn't have the starters in the preseason games. Because if he gets hurt, they can do some serious damage. And the damage, I think, to him has been done, even if it's only a sprain.
Well, not only that, Lou, but you know what? We're getting away from that. I mean, we saw an issue up in Winnipeg, Green Bay, and the Raiders. They played on an 80-yard field. The Packers had 33 of their starters or players to play regularly out of the game. The L.A. Rams, no one plays. We saw them leave 20 players, not just play, but when they played Dallas and Hawaii, 20 players didn't even make the trip. So I understand, you know, you want to get guys reps and get them a little comfortable, but other than New England, who's still, you know, Bill Belichick is going to be Bill Belichick, new guys aren't doing that. They're not playing preseason. And so Ron is kind of one of the few old-school coaches, and he may have to start rethinking this. It's the risk versus the reward just isn't there. We've seen Cam play. Now, should guys like Daniel Jones play? Yeah, they've never played NFL football. Should Kyler Murray play? Yeah. Should the kid from Washington play? Yes. Should pure rookies play? Yes. Your 9-year quarterback vet that you know has the job is going to lead your team? Should he be playing? No.
No.
There's no reward for this. It's all risk.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and speaking of football, you know there was a game last night that had to be shortened to 80 yards on the field instead of the normal 100.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying, the Raiders and the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And Green Bay even played players.
Yeah.
For what? There's no reward for that. I mean, here's who gets – the only people – they get screwed are the fans, because you got to buy those tickets. You got to buy those two tickets. As part of your ticket plan, you got to buy those tickets. And some of the preseason games are a little bit cheaper, so if you want to take, you know, your kids or your family or whatever, you go to a preseason, but you're seeing nothing. And so you're hoping maybe to get a glimpse of someone in the regular season. I'll tell you this. If I were the Giants, I wouldn't even play. I wouldn't have played Eli at all.
Hmm.
I wouldn't. Again, I'm going to say this. What's the reward for the risk?
Nothing.
Jets aren't playing Le'Veon Bell. There's no reward.
No.
Why are you getting – okay, here's my best way to put it. 85% of the of your roster, the coaches already know who's going to make the team. 85%. So why are you going to risk? If you have a star running back, a star quarterback, and a star receiver, or a star linebacker, or a star cornerback, why are you going to risk the season so you can look at 9 guys that's going to be playing in the second and third quarter, fourth quarter anyway, of a game that means nothing? What is the risk of them more important? Is that important enough to risk their health to find out what 9 guys are going to do if they're going to make the team? I don't think so.
No.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's see. Well, and I had something else too. Oh, and and you know how in sports that it's always great to break records? Well, there's one record that I don't think that anybody was proud to have last night. The Orioles now set the record for giving the most home runs in a season. Oh, boy.
They may as well pitch underhand. They may as well pitch underhand. That team has a lot of issues.
Yeah. 259 and counting, and still 5.5 weeks to go in the season. Oh, wow.
They're just not a good team.
No.
I mean, there's not like a way to say, oh, well, they're just not a good team. They're not getting better. They're not going to get better. Not this season, obviously, anyway. And you ever hear that saying, you're a couple years away from being a couple years away?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they're like a couple years away from being a couple years away to be a couple years away.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. But listen, my man, I got Tony on the line. Hopefully I catch up
with
you Monday.
Yes. All right, Tony's coming, so that's my cue. I'll talk to you
all right,
this weekend. All right.
Have a good weekend. Talk to you later. Bye. Good friend of the program, Lou. Sounds like he was getting some of those orders from the background as well. But, yeah, I just thought I don't know, risk-reward. And he actually brought up the Orioles. Good Lord, that's a bad baseball team. But if they ever play Houston again, and they're like 900-point dogs, I'm taking them. You know what's bad? They don't even have the worst record in baseball. They don't. No, and it's not even the Marlins. The worst record in baseball belongs to the Detroit Tigers. The only thing that makes the Orioles so astronomically bad is that they've given up 812 runs. 812 runs in 128 games. Do you understand how bad that is? 812 runs. They are just lobbing balls up there. They give up an average of over 6 runs per game. The Orioles are the slump busters. If you're in a batting slump and you look up and the Orioles are there, you are smiling your ass off because they are god awful terrible. They're just bad. Let me say this again. 812 runs. 6.3 runs per game. You almost have to try. You've got to make an effort to be that bad. I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, the one, the only Cuban cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Tony, the Orioles have given up 812 runs. The caller before brought this up about the amount of home runs they've given up. They've given up 812 runs in 128 games, or over 6 runs per game. How can pitching be that bad?
What is their plan? Do they even have one?
Throw underhand?
I mean, at least when it comes to the Marlins in their rebuilding efforts, they'll at least put up a fight. Like, you may eventually beat them, but that might have to come at the ninth rather than, like, just from the first inning. These guys, every time the Astros lose a game, it's like the biggest sports book loss in history.
Here's what's crazy. They don't even have the worst record in baseball.
They don't.
How's
that even possible? That's what I was surprised when I was looking at like the articles about the Astros losing. They lose to the Tigers and lose to the Orioles, and all of Vegas blows up. Like, it's like the biggest sports book loss upset.
The Tigers
a team that good
games. All season, the Tigers have won 38 games. That's it.
Damn. Now, could you imagine if, like, the Orioles were to have the Marlins pitching? At least be a wild card contender.
Okay.
Or better
yet,
the Marlins just take the best hitters from the Orioles. We'd be a wild card contender.
When the Orioles and the Tigers play, who goes to that game?
Whoever who can get a $3 ticket for the first time.
You think they would charge that much?
They wouldn't, but StubHub would.
So I went to the four letter, and Friday, September 13th, 14th, and 15th, Baltimore invades Detroit. Tickets are $11, $13, and $13. But are you ready for this? Those aren't even the cheapest tickets to watch the Orioles play the remainder of their season. The cheapest ticket, if you want to go watch your Orioles play, Toronto, Monday, September 23rd, you can watch your Orioles play for as low as $4.
Oh, damn. At least they have sons of legends. Like, they might not be legendary themselves, but at least they got tons of guys who were great.
Yeah.
If you missed out on Craig Biggio, Dante Bichette, or Vlad Guerrero, here, see their kids.
Yeah. And that's on the road. But if you want to see them at home for real cheap, Thursday, September the 5th, right around the corner, you can go see them play Texas for $7.
See, this is a good example of when people say that baseball games are overpriced, because those are the cheapest seats for the worst teams. I saw games on schedule during the NBA season for, like, the sorry teams in that league, and you could have got a ticket for $2. The damn fees would have been more expensive. There's less games.
It'll cost more to go to parking. You'll pay more for parking than a ticket.
It will. Well, I don't know how crazy, like, how out of the ordinary that is, because that's the same thing in Miami. You can get 2 pork tacos, a ticket that'll get you access to 2 different sections, and parking, and it would cost $35 on the weekend. And the parking is $20.
Tony, we're gonna start this off again, huh? We're gonna do this again. If you give me another reference for something in South Beach, because after the game, you know where you can go? You can go to the frickin' beach.
Well,
I'm talking about watching a baseball game in Toronto or in Baltimore where after the game there's nowhere to go. I don't have any sympathy for Marlins fans paying $35 for pork tacos when they're going to go to the beach after the game. And the parties on South Beach last until 5 in the morning, and you're going to give me some damn pork taco prices? Your fantasy league fee just went to $15.
The pork taco is actually the cheapest item, $5. And they don't ration the meat.
Okay. So I did something that I would have never done if it wasn't for you. I watched the Miami Dolphins preseason game last night against Jacksonville. Fitzpatrick,
it's really fun to be there.
Fitzpatrick looked like a dog. He looked terrible until Jacksonville put in their second string players. I said he'd have 4 good games. I don't want to overreact to preseason, but I'm about to overreact to preseason. That dude may have 1 good half. Is he washed? Why are you not going to Rosen?
I have no idea, because I actually agree with you. I think Rosen should be the starter. But I think money might be a reason, because they spend, I think, what, like double-digit $1 million on Fitzpatrick before he even came across Rosen, and I guess they got to get some money out of it, got to get some use out of it, I would say. And when you have an offensive line that the Dolphins do, whoever you put as a starting quarterback will eventually get injured. So I think you will definitely see Rosen eventually, but I think the best way to jumpstart the season with some hope and not have people think that you're out there with the plan to go 3-13 and get the number one pick is to go with Rosen.
So you weren't on air for the opening, but in the opening I said, is this the day I break the Cuban cowboy down and convince him that Rosen should be the starter after last night? And I was watching. I was so serious about watching this game. My sons had a football practice, their flag football team. I DVR'd it. And then I watched it after they got out the showers and they went to bed. And all I did was watch a lot of the offensive players. And by the way, number 41 on Jacksonville is a beast. But if Fitzpatrick is going to dream, he could do
nothing. You actually would have saw me twice on TV.
Well,
I was
you
there
almost
the side
got ran over.
Dodging Dolphins like the Matrix.
Yeah, you almost got ran over. I wasn't sure if that was you, though, at first. I have to go back. I still got the game on DVR and watch. But
I'm the guy with the purple hat.
Dude, he played lousy, Fitzpatrick did, against the number one.
The thing that was most infuriating was most of the plays were just runs. Just, all right, we'll just give it to Pelage and see if he does anything. All right, we'll give it to this running back and see if he does anything. Oh, let's give it to the white guy from Cal. Oh, he scored. Like, most of the plays were running plays, and I have no idea. I say Josh Rosen should start, kind of, but I have no idea, really, because I haven't seen much of a real sample size from anybody. The only thing I saw from Rosen was a 99-yard touchdown drive. At this point, that's good enough for me because I didn't see many real pass attempts. And then ask Flores about it, and most of it is just, oh, it was a great opponent. Well, you're going to start the season with four great opponents. So what does that got to do with
it? So, well, my eyes deceiving me, but Pryor Senior, is their number one receiver Terrell Pryor Senior?
To be honest, the way the Jaguars were playing that preseason game too, I had no idea Terrell Pryor Senior was on the Jags until I checked the roster after the game when I was going over the photos I shot. I don't know. I knew D.D. Westbrook was there, and I knew Michael Walker, who I saw in Boston College, was there. But other than that, I didn't know who these people were. Because I didn't really see much from anybody except Westbrook.
Those are two teams offensively I do not want to watch play football. I want to watch the Jags play
football. I at least think
they'll
be a competent Jaguars offense. I think they got to be better than what they were previous. For my sake, Nick Folsom.
I wasn't impressed with him either last night. So, Tony, here's what I said about him. Real quick, before I get to this, hang with me a sec. I just got to pay a couple bills.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line with me right now, the one only Cuban cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Tony, thanks for holding through that. I'm looking at this game last night, and the one thing I said about Nick Foles, and go with me with this and tell me if you think I'm off base. And when he had a starting job, I remember he got thrust into a position, he had like 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and everyone was like, oh, wow, I can't believe everyone missed on this guy. Then he got a full-time starting QB money, had the job, couldn't perform. Was about to leave football, got talked back into playing, backed up Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz gets hurt. He gets in. He wins the Super Bowl. But There was no pressure on him because if they lose, big deal. Hey, you did the best you could do. You got thrust into this. Guess what? The sun shined on the dogs, you know what, and he won a Super Bowl. So he comes back, re-ups, you know, comes back, gets a couple more dollars. Wentz goes down again. You thrust him in again. No pressure on him. You get to the playoffs, great. If you win around, great. You're going to help us defend, do the best you can. There's no pressure on you. You're not really the starter. It's not your team. Anything you do is gravy. Now he's down in Jacksonville. Now he's the starter. He's getting all the questions. Everyone's at his locker after the game. Everyone wants to know what's going on now. Now there's a difference. He's now not just the guy that can come in and be unassuming. He's now the man. I don't know if he's up to that job.
We've seen plenty of times in the NFL, you can be the man and be unassuming at the same time in front of reporters. But I think he's got a good situation in Jacksonville. They got a really good defense. He's got a running back that can move the chains with them. He's got a good target at D. Westbrook. I think that's something that he hasn't had in St. Louis, and I don't think that was something that was in the way when he was in Philly. He had everything in Philly. He's got everything. He's got almost everything in Jacksonville. So I saw the impressive drive from him against the Dolphins' top defense, and I don't think the defense is going to be that bad this year either. So maybe it's just preseason. I think they'll do well. And also, usually when you finish in last place in the NFL, the next schedule becomes a lot easier for you to make that jump back into the playoffs.
You're not lying. Oh, so why haven't the Dolphins done it then?
I don't know why the Dolphins haven't done anything. Although, I think that's the thing. It's, the schedule is easy for you when you're in last place. It's harder on you when you make the playoffs. But if you're going to be 7-9 for the rest of your life, they just keep it the same way.
Yeah, touche. Good point. Tomorrow, the Hurricane, the U, not the Ohio State, but the U, we want to make sure that we get that right when we are trademarking, not the. They're playing Florida. I said earlier, I think Miami could suffer this loss as long as it's close and still have a shot at the end of the year where Florida can't. But Miami's starting a brand new quarterback. What's going on with those Canes? Is the U back?
Well, the U's back because football is back, and that's usually all it takes in Miami. But we were talking with Jared. Now, Manny Diaz had three quarterbacks to choose from. They had a transfer from Ohio State. They had a redshirt freshman that almost transferred, and the Kosi Perry, who's a sophomore, who had a lot of reps last year on the Mark Rick system. The way he was discussing about this, it was almost as if he was picking his first Pokemon, like he could win 8 badges with any of them. He chose Jared Williams because he liked his decision-making instincts, and he looked more like the more balanced and athlete compared to the other two. Since the decision was made, Tate Martell was actually seen in a white jersey, which is usually reserved for offensive skill position players, and he was trying out some reps as a wide receiver. So maybe we're getting this element process started early. I don't know where that's going to take him, but it's interesting. But I think for what we were talking with the players, Williams is the leader on this team. That's something that's been a quick, gradual process since he recommitted to the team and Manny became the new coach. The defense hasn't changed. It's still going to be the strength of this team. They're always going to have a running back that's going to move the chains. It's really what matters is, can this passing offense get the job done? Can we move on from this vanilla conservative nonsense that has plagued teams throughout the sport and get something a little more dynamic? And if they could do it against Florida, they could do it against everyone else in their schedule, because that schedule is going to be very favorable for them after this game.
So the U is back. I mean, is this a team that can really contend for a national title or at least the playoffs? Can they beat Clemson in the ACC? Can they beat Florida State in the ACC?
Well, it could be Florida State because Florida State can't beat anyone else either. Like, they're also they're in a worse shape than anyone else in that state. I don't know if they could beat Clemson though, because I don't know if anyone could beat Clemson. Is that they become that much of a juggernaut, but they can actually get to the point where they can play Clemson for a title. Like, even if they lose to Florida, that's not going to really change their conference standing. And after that game, they go to North Carolina. Mack Brown is back, but I don't think that team is going to be any world beaters. They're not going to be that, like, something to look out for. So I'm sure they could beat North Carolina. And then they got two easy games in Bethune-Cookman and Central Michigan at home, and then three straight games against their conference after that. Then they go on the road to Florida State in that broken-down Willie Taggart bus. And then they go to, I think they take on Louisville or they take on somebody else, like Duke. Like, they could beat both those teams. FIU is another road game. That's at Marlins Park. That's going to be another easy win. And then they finish off, I guess, at Pitt. Yeah, they can easily run the table after this game if they regardless if they win or lose. This is a very favorable schedule for them.
So here's what I don't understand, and explain this to me, please. And it has nothing to do with the U. It has to do with Florida football, Florida State, to be exact. So their head coach starts out to Texas A&M. And for the life of me, I still don't understand how the A&M job is a better job than the Florida State job. But that's just maybe that's
smoke
just
money. Smoke money.
But Florida State should be able to pony up. But here's my question. So he leaves town, and he left the covered bear. But you mean to tell me that Florida State, with that tradition, that rich tradition under Bobby Bowden, the best they could do was Willie Taggart? That was the best they could do. Why would they allow their football program? I'll quote Prince Hakeem from Zamunda. How could they let this come to such a pass?
This is a tradition as old as time. Take the guy who succeeds in the lesser program and see what magic he can do with the resources you provide. This was a nonsense trope that the Hurricanes have done numerous times. They got Al Golden from Temple. Like, they got
who?
They got Manny Diaz from Temple after 2 weeks. Florida State got Taggart after one year at Oregon. After he did a good job with South Florida, this is the move that they do. It's like, all right, well, we could save money and just get the guy who is turning heads in a lesser program, and then give him the resources that we have, and maybe he could do something. But I don't know if there was a time when Willie Taggart has ever started really well with a program. Like, they always go down and work their way up if he gets a long enough chance. And I don't think that maybe there'll be some improvement this year, but I don't think it's going to be enough to beat the Hurricanes this year.
I don't think he could even beat a Hurricane if it was served to him at a bar. Yo, my man, tell everyone how they can hear you and check you out and read you and do all that stuff.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tony Capobianco. You can catch my work on 5ReasonSports.com and also on Dolphin and Kane's Maven. I'm everywhere,
we
baby.
We got a draft this Sunday at 6:30, 9:30 your time. Are you you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Will you try not to do anything to get more kangaroo court fines between now and then?
A fair court might be what's necessary. Judge, jury, and executioner, all in one. That's two. No one man should have all that power, Paul. You know that.
Well, you just never know. Sometimes it's just the way it works out. Sometimes.
Why? Because you, one man with all that power, who shouldn't have all that power, makes all the rules?
Yes.
Yeah,
sometimes this works out that way, or in this case, all the time.
Yo, my man, look forward to seeing you in that draft room and talking trash. Just try not to lose to a 9-year-old this year, okay?
Man, one of these is that's the problem with the Chiefs is they will let you down, and I filled my team up with Chiefs MVP players, and they let me down. And the worst part is, I might make that same mistake again.
Well, in this league, since you said I'm one man with all the power, I guess I'm officially King Jofi Jofa, and my son is officially Prince Hakeem. But who will be Simi? Who will get to be bathed at the Waldorf Astoria? That's what I want to know.
How much ice cream does it take for you to score like an uneven trade with your son?
I can't. He won't trade me.
You guys take him somewhere that you normally don't take him just so you can get like a quarterback when your guy goes down? Like, yeah, I really need a tight end. I should get Travis Kelce. Hey, you wanna let me take it to Grimaldi's? You wanna get some ice cream? Let's work a trade out. You get my backups.
Won't do it. He's probably he's just as competitive as I am, and nothing makes him smile more than to say, "I beat you, Dad."
Oh, every kid's for sale.
Yeah. So just letting you know. In fact, I have this rule. He's getting really, really good at basketball. I got about 2 more years to play him. The second I think he can beat me, I will never play him again. So that way he will never say I beat my dad in basketball.
What?
Oh, yeah. The second I know he can beat me, I will never play him again. I'm going to retire. I have an injury. I have a bad ankle above knee.
You know, just rain threes down upon you like a plague? Like, all you got to do is back up on that kid and get to the post.
Tony, he's only 9 and he's already 5 feet tall.
Oh, my God. What kind of mutants are these kids becoming?
So...
my feet tall. I was in high school by then. Damn.
So, no. The second he can beat me, I'm done. I'm retiring because I have an earache. And it throws my equilibrium off. So I quit. I retire.
You got to pull off. Like, the minute he shoots the go-ahead jumper, you got to pull off like Ronnie. Like, get close enough to where the ball hits you in the arm. And then you pull off that Ronnie Dangerfield. Oh, my arm. It's broken.
Yep. Nope. I'm going to get that imaginary shot in the leg. You know, oh, man, I'm done. This game doesn't count. I pulled something. I'm done. This game doesn't count. So,
I was already terrible at basketball, so I never had to have these problems. I played one game with my little brother, and who's 5 feet tall as a high school kid back then. And I did the one thing I could do is back the kid up to the post and then lob it in for a point. And then I got too bored of doing that to try to actually play basketball, and I got worked.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, all right, advocate this it is.
Yep, no. It's the blessing and the curse of having a kid that's tall and athletic. So, no, I will not be embarrassed by someone that I still pay for all their food and clothing. Just not going to happen.
Yeah, wait till he starts working doing that.
Oh, he's already doing that. And I hear about it.
Oh.
So I'm done. I can't beat him in 2K. Every now and then I can get him in Madden. So I can still beat him in baseball, though, because he doesn't really like baseball that much. So I always take, like, the Yankees or the Astros, and then I just hit the hell out of all his pitching.
You can also beat him with baseball. Every time he hits a run, you knock his good.
Yo, man, I gotta jump. I'll see you on Sunday at 6:30.
Alrighty.
All right, buddy. That's the one, the only Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. He's a beat up with baseball. Go to jail for that stuff. Anyway, let's pay a couple bills, and then let's get into this interview I did with Kent Summers. From AZ Republic, AZ Central, Ken Summers, a great columnist
from over there. Let's pay a couple bills first.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located at 4991 South Alma School, that's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
So the Arizona Cardinals, I say they're going to be 5-11. I think I'm being really optimistic with that, because as I look at the schedule, I really only see 3 or 4 victories. I'm thinking they can steal a couple here and there. But I got a chance to catch up with Kent Summers, incredible columnist with the Arizona Republic, azcentral.com. He's always out there with the Cardinals. I kid him around. You hear it in this interview that he knows more about the Cardinals than the Cardinals. This man is completely tuned in. And I had an opportunity to catch up with him a little bit on assignment at a D-backs game. Sat down and talked to him about the Cardinals. And here's how that went. PLR Sports Cave here with the man, the one, the only, Kent Summers. Kent, you know the Cardinals, I was just saying, probably better than some of the Cardinals know the Cardinals. Tell me some of the things from camp that you're seeing right now that give you the most upside about this team this year.
Well, I think it starts with number one, Kyler Murray. It's his talent's obvious. I watched him a lot at Oklahoma, and, I mean, an unusual skill set. Can run, can throw, but what I really noticed when you see him in person is how easy the ball comes out of his hand, and it's always a tight spiral. I mean, when it wobbles a little bit, as Cliff Kingsbury said, you wonder what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think long-term, he gives that team immense hope that they can build around him. Outside of that, I mean, there are a lot of questions about that team. You know, they've got some good young talent, I think. I think last year's draft was very good, seeing some of those guys come forward. I think Buda Baker is a rising star in the secondary. But it's a franchise, I think, that has a long way to go.
Offensively, for the 3 years, we've been saying it, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. And there have been times where I've been kind of hard on our GM because I said, he was an offensive lineman. How is it so hard for him to get an offensive line? Is that offensive line finally better, and is it good enough to open holes for David Johnson and give Kyler Murray the opportunity to get the ball out and make plays?
Well, we're going to see. You know, they're relying on a lot of guys coming back from injuries, from DJ Humphries, Justin Pugh, A.Q. Shipley, probably going to win the center job. Marcus Gilbert, the right tackle they brought in, missed some games last year for the Steelers. Again, they're trying to piece things together in a way, and I agree with you. It's probably the biggest failing the Cardinals have had in the Steve Kime era. I mean, nothing's really worked. The draft, free agency, et cetera. I think the biggest failure is they haven't been able to draft players and develop them into reliable starters. I think DJ Humphries can be that guy at left tackle. I think he has great talent if he can just stay healthy. I think the big thing they've got going for them there, from talking to people around the league, is offensive line coach Sean Kugler.
Okay.
Very good reputation. Coached Steelers offensive line for several years. We know how they like to run the ball. I'm hoping, for Cardinals' sake, that he has some influence with Cliff Kingsbury into that air raid offense and developing a running game.
Okay.
That will work in the NFL. So I think there's a chance, but I think it's going to take a while for that group to come together. And you know, the last time that group stayed healthy was 2015,
right?
Which was also the NFC title run
last
year.
Well.
So, yeah, we'll see. That's the big key.
Air raid offense, we hear that so much. Will they run the ball? Will they be known as a running team, or just straight up chuck it through the air 1,000 times per game?
I don't think it'll be straight up that. I do think
okay. They
will run the ball. You know, Kingsbury at Texas Tech ran the ball enough, and you see some air raid offenses that are successful elsewhere, but they are able to run the ball. Oklahoma, for instance,
right.
Washington State in some years.
Right.
It's been very good at running the ball. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to be up-tempo, throw the ball all the time.
Okay.
I think a key for them will be the ability to change speeds with that offense, to play at a fast tempo, slow it down, speed it up, keep the defense off sort of off kilter. I think you see the Patriots do a lot of that with Tom Brady, go hurry up sometimes, slow it down at other times. So, but we're going to see, obviously, a lot of passing. We're going to see a lot of, you know, four wide receiver sets. We're going to see a lot of tight ends not lining up traditionally in line. They're going to be in the slot. David Johnson's going to be outside. We're going to see a lot more screen passes, I think, than we've ever seen a Cardinals team throw. And I really think that fits in with what David Johnson can do.
I've often wondered this, and maybe you can explain it to me. What's the difference between the air raid and the run and shoot?
Well, I think the run and shoot, as I remember it, was more get your quarterback on the move, run outside, get him on some sweeps and stuff. I think we're going to see that, elements of that with Kyler Murray. They'll move the pocket to give him more time, to give him better throwing lanes.
Okay.
A standard five-step drop.
Right, right.
We'll see wider splits along the offensive linemen. That's part of the two.
Okay.
To spread that defense out. But, yeah, it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Than a run and shoot. But, it's going to somewhat look the same. I mean, we'll see the run back. We'll see Kyler Murray in shotgun 99.9% of the time. It's going to be fun to watch this offense and see how it transitions to the NFL.
We focus on offense so much, and you mentioned Wood Baker on defense. Does this defense have what it takes, especially in this division with Jared Goff, with the Wilson up in Seattle? Do they have what it takes to keep the team in games to see if the air raid can score the points and put up the offense?
It's a big question. You know, they think going back to the 3-4, which they ran successfully for most of the time since 2007, until last year when they switched to 3-4-3, they think going back to that will help, that they're built more for that. I have questions up front if this team's going to be able to stop the run. I mean, I like Corey Peters an awful lot, but, you know, losing Darius Bylan, you know, cutting him after the incident, after he was arrested, that's going to hurt a position that doesn't have a lot of depth anyway. The youngster, Zach Allen at defensive end, you know, he's going to take some time to develop. They're questionable at the inside linebacker spots. Jordan Hicks is a really good player but has problems staying healthy. And we don't know what Hassan Reddick can do.
Yeah,
a first-round pick. I mean, he hasn't performed up to that ability, and then he hurt his knee early in camp. So that's my biggest concern. Are they going to be able to stop the run? And then, you know, then they have the injury at cornerback. You know, they're going to be up. Yeah.
Patrick for 6 weeks.
Yeah, so you're missing your top two corners for the first however many half of the season,
basically.
That's a dangerous combination.
I'd rather put a lot in preseason whatsoever because I treat it like baseball, in that pitchers may be working on a curve instead of throwing a fastball to get people out, so whatever. Tackling, no concern. I saw some of the tackling. It seemed like it was a little lax. Is that preseason that they're working through, or is that something that you think will kind of can turn into an Achilles heel if they don't shore that up?
Well, it definitely could. I think we see it across the league, especially early in the season, because, you know, you don't hit much in practice. There isn't much live tackling. I think it takes a guys a while to get used to that. Also, coupled with that, you know, through the first couple of preseason games, just guys not getting off blocks to stop the run. I mean, the Raiders came in with their rookie running back and just pounded away and went right down the field. And really, the first game, the Chargers did somewhat similar. So you have to wonder if that defense is sort of behind the curve, having to work against the Cardinals offense in practice all the time, that they don't see the standard NFL offense, or at least offense that's going to line up and run the ball straight at you. But that's, to me, over the first half of the preseason, that's the biggest concern about this team. Are they physical enough up front on both sides of the line?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the time, Ken. I appreciate it very much. And good having you on.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that was my interview with Kent Summers from AZ Republic, AZ Central. And there are so many holes on this team. I agree with drafting the people they drafted, not just a quarterback, but the other positions that they drafted. Here's my problem, though. I think fans are going to look at Kyler Murray and they're going to think, oh, wow, we've got our guy. Now everything should click. And I'm like going, whoa. Wait a second. Everything isn't going to click that quickly. There's so many holes this team had. That offensive line, if they can gel together, they'll be better. They're not going to be great. There's nothing about that line that says they're going to go from okay to great. Now, David Johnson is back, healthy. He's right after last year. Fitz is there. Christian Kirk has a year under his belt. They love the kid, Keyshawn Johnson. That's what Ken Summers and a few other people have told me. They love that kid. But is Max Williams, DJ Humphreys, Justin Pugh, A.Q. Shipley, J.R. Sweezy, Marcus Gilbert, are they going to hold up? And I know I included a tight end because tight ends are blocked now. Are those guys going to hold up? And when you flip the ball and you look on the defensive side, do these guys make you tremble? Will Byron Murphy and Brock hold up at corners? I just don't know. I just don't know. And as I look at this team's schedule, excuse me, I mean, there are some games on here that I really worry about. Like, can they win this game, but are they going to even be competitive in this game? And they don't even have the toughest schedule. But I think they got some tough breaks on some of the way the games fell. Like, they get Atlanta, and Atlanta doesn't really scare you, but they're good enough. And fortunately, get them at home, but they got probably the best team in that division. And you say, well, at least they got the Bengals, and the Bengals aren't really that good, but they got to go to Cincinnati to play them. Baltimore, hey, look, at least they got a quarterback that can't necessarily throw the ball, but their defense is good, and you got to go to Baltimore to play them. They open up against Detroit, and if you have your best cornerback out for 6 weeks, you have your next cornerback who may be out for a while, you're open against Matt Stafford, and Matt Stafford throws the ball all over the yard. Then you go to Baltimore again. You got to win on the road, and even though I don't think their quarterback can throw very well, that defense can play. And they're going to be playing an offensive line that hasn't quite gelled. And then you come back home for Carolina. Maybe you can get them, especially if Cam Newton is out. Then you got Seattle at home. Tough team. Russell Wilson, that defense, I don't know. Cincinnati, we just spoke of, there. I don't know. Atlanta, home. I don't know. The Giants are a mess, but you got to go to New York to play them. Then you got to go play in a dome in New Orleans. Then come home and play San Francisco. You know what? I don't know. The games I'm saying, I don't know, are games I think maybe they have a shot at winning. Then you get on a plane and you fly to South Florida to play Tampa Bay. You don't think Bruce Arians are going to have those guys ready to play? Then you got to fly to San Fran, and you don't get a bye week till week 12. And you return off that bye week, and, yeah, you got three home games in a row, but it's Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland before you fly out to Seattle and L.A. to end the season. So I'm being generous with five wins. This is a spades hand for me. I really only got three books. But I'm scratching my head, kind of nodding my neck to the side and saying, ooh, I could see five. But if I was going to go bet, this is a three-win team. Next preseason game, I know some people are looking for something to show them something. Guys, it's preseason. If anything, don't look at stats. Don't look at wins. Don't look at any of that. Look to see if this offensive line is showing any type of cohesiveness. Look and see if this defense is doing little things like, I don't know, tackling. And then get at me. But thank you, Kent Summers, for spending some time with me. I really appreciate that. Some notes to clean up before we get out of here. Taylor Lewan, offensive lineman for the Titans who got paid, who was on Instagram a while ago whining that he didn't know that he took a banned substance. He's going to be suspended for 4 games. Quit whining. Dude, if you took it, you took it. You should know what you're putting in your body if you're at this level. It's really easy. You're about to take something? I'm going to look at my son. My son's got some allergy medicine right here in front of me. Right here in front of me. It says active ingredients. I do not know what number 2 aluminum lake flavor magnesium saturate mannitol is, but my kid's doctor looked at this and because I was smart enough to ask my doctor, this is something that my kid should take. If I'm a pro athlete and I get something, I'm going to take that bottle. I'm going to go to the team doctor. And I'm going to say, hey, please consult with the NFL and see if this is something I should take. If I'm not in the same state with them, hey, I just text you a picture of the ingredients in this thing that I took. Am I safe with that? How long does that take you? Took me about a minute to explain it. It would take him about a minute to do the same. Taylor Lewan, I have no sympathy for you, dude. Do your 4 games. You can cry. You can get on Instagram. You can do all that crap. Nobody cares, man. You knew what you were putting in your body. Go ahead. Get your $80 million deal, your $50 million guaranteed. Game 5, when you come back, by game 10, no one will even notice. Your team will not be that good. Mariota's still your quarterback. Antonio Brown's hearing about his helmet. That should all be decided about next week or by next week. Dude, he's playing. All this other stuff is just noise. He's playing. Same thing I told you before. Cowboys offered Zeke a deal. We're not hearing a lot from Zeke's camp. Zeke is going to get his money. The Cowboys are going to get their running back. He'll be in by week 1. If he doesn't come in by week 1, if he doesn't like the money, then I say hold out to week 10. Either crap or get off the pot, dude. They own you for 4 more years in terms of your contracts. There's nothing you can do. If they're offering you a little more than this guy, but a little bit less than this guy, take your money, guarantee it, move on, play football, get to the playoffs, possibly win a Super Bowl, and then all of your endorsements will come in. Let's just make this happen. This is getting old. I'm tired of hearing about Dallas in the news. Really tired of it. So, what do we have this weekend? We have college football. And don't forget, as the season gets going, we will do our college football poll and games that will be at thesportscave.com, and we'll be doing our NFL pick'em for you to possibly win some prizes from us right here at the Sports Cave and the Cave Show. I can't believe it's the weekend. It is here. And, yes, as we're wrapping up, I will say this. Riverboat Ron, dude, come to this decade. Keep Cam out of all preseasons. Obviously, you have to now with the sprain. Should never have been in there. Hopefully, other teams will notice that. And they will get their stars out of the game. They don't matter. The risk isn't worth it. This has been the Cave Show. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the Sports Twitter page with the Cave. SportsCave.com, the Cave with the Cave. Get this, listen to this if you want to know. But anyway, you can always check us out on Twitter as well at Twitter. Get right into it if you missed anything. You can also go back to the display, check this out. Link is at thesportscave.com. Click on the link in live, and it will route you right back to this show and many other shows. You can also get some of our favorites that we have just online there at thesportscave.com. Get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Feel free to do that as well. Also, thank you to all the stars that made me to carry on. You all have Tony Capriano to see the Cowboys fans that call in. And again, another big thanks to Tim Summers, Agent of Public Agency, to follow me. Tell me a lot about the Cowboys.
everyone if you like football, this is college football here. Florida versus Miami. Show me what's the pro football. As we are back, football again. This is the team to the PLR. This is the PLR. Everyone, congratulations.